Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to Friday. Great to have you. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, and you. We are loaded. Plenty of coaching carousel discussion. The smoke is still thick in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee. Scott Frost is done with his press conference for the AAC Championship. You'll hear from Coach Frost here in about 20 minutes. We'll share that with you as his team gets ready for one more rodeo in the ACC. You'll hear that. You just heard the promo, noon Eastern, 11 Central is when that'll kick off. We're excited. Great to have you in with Hail Varsity Radio, and we'll get rolling here. About 5 minutes away, the Pride of Fairbury and NBC Sports' Bill Dolman. Bill Dolman is an expert at the coaching carousel. Get his thoughts on Scott Frost. And if you're putting the, the Frost forecast out there, percentage-wise, you got to be up there, kind of like Danny's GPA. You got to be close to 100%. That's what I'm thinking. Friday forecast, our percentage brutal. It's okay, though. Klaus Bern will join us at 525 with the forecast. Bill Dolman coming up in a minute. Ralph Brown is 20 minutes away. Get his thoughts on Scott Frost, his teammate from the 97 championship team. And then Derek Peterson going to be with this Dr. Petey in hour two. You're welcome to join us. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Court can tap out. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. On Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio or at Hail Varsity. And I want to kind of get into the risk and reward of what's coming this weekend. The risk there isn't really for Nebraska. You go up or you keep getting further away with this football program and where you want to be on the landscape. But from a risk and reward standpoint with Scott Frost, we'll talk with a couple people here this hour, and I'll share my thoughts as well, that knew him pretty well. Ralph Brown played with him. Bill Dolman, of course, host of the Tom Osborne Show. Now, it is the holiday season. We are already into December and excited to start this Monday. Monday the 4th through December 21st on Gregeth and Hooks and on Hail Varsity here in Lincoln. We are going to qualify you for the holiday Hail Mary. Starts Monday. And we'll qualify you Monday through the 21st of December. What can you win with the holiday Hail Mary? You're going to listen for the Griswold Hail Mary sounder. And when you hear that, your chance to get qualified for a laptop with Schrock Innovations, a Viper 4816V car starter from Auto Sounds. That is awesome when it gets frosty outside. And a $100 Jet Splash gift card. That's part of the holiday Hail Mary. This is what you're going to listen for starting Monday.
'Tis the season to be merry.
All right, penalty, the last play of the game. And a memorable season opener for both teams.
It's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Three-man rush.
Hallelujah!
All kinds of time.
Get Nippy out.
I mean Nippy out.
Steps into the throw, in the wind, down.
We're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny Kaye.
And caught!
Okay. So that's the sounder. That was also the BYU-Nebraska Hail Mary. Sean McDonough was incredible. Tough ending. And we got the edit in there. It was Danny Kaye. Thankfully. Well done, Danny. Okay, let's get Bill Dolman hooked up. We'll talk with him here in a minute on the coaching carousel. And listen, you've had so much go on since Monday, and it can close by Sunday for Nebraska and kind of winning the perception game and the arms race for coaching change this year. I mean, let's just kind of highlight what has happened since Monday. Florida hires Mullen. Gundy turns down Tennessee. Moorhead goes to Mississippi State. Herm Edwards supposed to go to Arizona State. Doran says, I'm good. Give me a raise, Wolfpack. Ole Miss gets taken to the basement with a paddle. And Jimbo goes to A&M 10 years, $75 million. Keeping with form, as we've done the coaching search for Tennessee, we got to play Rocky Top for that. And we will bring on the pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman. Let's play Rocky Top. There we go. Because, quite frankly, since I've started playing it, it's never left between my ears. It's brutal. And we welcome the pride of Fairbury and NBC Sports, Bill Dolman, with us on Hail Varsity Radio, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Bill, I mean, we didn't hear this song that often, that Miami night in 1998. How are you?
I think it's Rocky Bottom now, isn't it?
It's called Give Me Another Fifth of Jack.
I just said, are they using that search firm of Peterson and Eichhorst and Perlman?
Hold on a minute. This is kind of good news, isn't it? I mean, Petey and Eichhorst and Harv, they're sending holiday/Christmas cards to the Vols, aren't they? I mean, 2004 has to be forgotten now, doesn't it, because of this?
I don't know. It's amazing.
This trumps that 1,000%, doesn't it?
Well,
they're
no,
on choice 16.
Look, I know I feel bad when other people get sick, but I know how I felt when I got sick, and I still feel worse. So that four-year case of the flu, is the memory of that is never going to go away. Well, and then to get the sniffles really bad, the strep throat for however long we had it, and finally got rid of that. Nothing is ever going to bottom out what we experienced, from the inside earlier this century.
I think this trumps the Nebraska search. And fumble and debacle of Peterson. He'll never be off the hook, but this is way worse.
Maybe. I don't know. It's certainly a debate worth having, and one that it's awful. I can't.
Who's more incompetent?
I don't know. I kind of, to a certain extent, feel bad for John Curry.
But tell me, you got to know him through your time through the Big 12.
No, I don't.
Because he blew up Kansas State, man. I mean, Blair Kirkhoff had a great story on, he's the guy who kind of pushed away Frank Martin. He's the guy that hacked off Grandpa Snyder with the whole Jim Levitt hiring or offer.
Yeah. Well, that story reminds me of the I-Cor story where he said everybody needs to go watch Bob Diaco because he's the best coach on campus.
Yeah.
And I can think of 10, GA coaches that were better than Bob Diaco on campus. But John Cook, Rhonda Ravel, Mark Manning, to name a few. But John Curry, he was brought in to make the change. The same as Bill Moose. You get the job, your first job is to make a change and change the direction of the football program. So even though Curry came in April, Butch Jones was on a short leash. Bill Moose comes in, it's not to, keep Mike Riley. Mike Riley's a wonderful guy, more examples of that this week. But John Curry's job was in April to begin the process of getting rid of Butch Jones. Now, I for one, don't think the Schiano hiring was all that bad of an idea. But the execution was clearly awful. And the fact that the institution bowed to social media was totally embarrassing. That thing is taking so many twists and turns. I thought, okay, maybe he's got himself back. If Mike Leach really is interested, and you of all people in the country would know, if Mike was interested in Tennessee after all that they'd gone through, they should have said, that's our guy. But when they said, you got to come back, and before you can make an offer, you're going to get canned.
I think he could have.
I have no idea what they do.
I think he could have had the pirate, but I think Tennessee brass freaked out. And what
Why?
Do you? What, well, we got to get into Frost here in a second. But what do you believe? Do you believe Fulmer got even with the guy that helped run him out? Do you believe the sabotage whiff or innuendo that's out there?
Sure. Why not? He doesn't come across as a saboteur, but I guess it just seems the way this story has gone.
Hey, John, you really ought to check out. John, you better go check out these guys as the next coaches. Hey, John, check out this guy, knowing that no one's going to take it, and now Uncle Phil's now the AD.
That could be.
No, he is. He's been appointed interim AD at Tennessee.
And
he'll appoint him interim. He'll appoint himself interim head coach. Get back in the chair.
Yeah, that's possible. I don't know. I just think that story has gotten really, really bizarre, and who knows where they go. I thought Mike Leach was an unbelievable opportunity.
That'd have been sweet.
I think people would have rallied behind that. He would have been an unbelievable breath of fresh air in the Southeastern Conference, where everybody kowtows to Nick Saban and every word that he says. Do you think Mike Leach cares what Nick Saban has to say?
No.
Oh, my God, that would have been unbelievable. And it might have actually put ESPN in the black.
Yeah.
They might have hired all those people back because the SEC network.
Bill, let's talk Scott Frost. He had his press conference today. And we're anticipating sometime Sunday that he'll be introduced. 99.9% frost warning. Sorry, I'll quit doing that. The 0.01%, who is plan B? Because you got to have a plan B.
Well, I think Nebraska's played this very well. And I think all signs point to Scott, just because Nebraska hasn't been in any of the conversation over the past week and a half or so. They've just been laying low. And I think they've been very respectful administratively, Bill Moose, to whatever Scott's decision is going to be. You've got friends or fans that have gone down, and the social media has made it to where you think maybe this guy's going to, you know, not take the gig because it's just kind of creepy. But I think Bill Moose has done a brilliant job. And he's a coach's AD. And if Scott Frost turns down Nebraska and says, you know what, my heart's with Central Florida right now, then I think Nebraska respects it. There are certainly some coaches who are out there that would be very attractive. I'm not sure Kevin Sumlin is the guy. Mm-hmm. I thought for sure he was going to head to Arizona State. I think there's a coach that I've heard, you know, for the past few months that has been interested in Nebraska, who's won a national championship before, who hasn't coached in the last year. That has, you know, some ties to Bill Moose that I think people would be surprised and pleased if that were to be the direction Nebraska goes. I think Bill Moose has plan B, and I've always thought that, and I think plan B is probably pretty good. Is it Scott Frost that's going to take the gig? I don't know, but I'll guarantee you this. Bill Moose went in and did the job that Nebraska fans wanted him to do, and that's to make sure that he's the guy. He's welcome to come home, and we hope that he does. But if he doesn't, we'll respect it and move on.
Well, if
but
if,
I'm so sick of listening to the ESPN guys and Kirk Herbstreit telling us how it's going to be, and well, how's Nebraska going to get it done? And
watch
how
out for Florida
seat.
State, Bill. Come on.
Well, you know, I think I always thought, and you and I've talked, I thought Florida State, before even Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M were an item, I thought that would be a better fit for Scott Frost in Florida. This is when people are talking about Jimbo Fisher getting fired and not being wooed by A&M. I thought that would be a much better fit for Scott down in Florida than the university. But after all that's transpired, I think maybe all signs point to Scott actually coming home and doing what we all hope that he does.
I think it's
the possibility these days all stays there, though.
I think this thing's done, and Tennessee's flames and outcry and screaming will look like a campfire if he isn't here. Okay.
Yeah.
It'll be rough for Nebraska fans. And let's just not talk about that. Bill, you got about 30 seconds. What do you got coming up this weekend?
That's a good question. I think it better. Oh, I've got some basketball. I've been hoping because
that's not intentional. Bill, you're
hockey,
cutting out. Go ahead.
I've had ice dancing, figure skating, and speed skating all in the last week. I'm hoping that there's going to be like a Blades of Fury gladiator-type deal where they're all combined, but nobody seems to want to buy my idea.
Keep throwing the idea out there. Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, talking coaching carousel, Frost back to Nebraska, and that Plan B option likes to wear a visor. In crimson and cream.
That would not surprise me. If that's Plan B, that would not surprise me at all. But I'm tired of listening to Kirk Herbstreit tell everybody what he thinks he knows about it, what it means to be a Nebraska Cornhusker. I read his column the other day or whatever it was. I was so dizzy trying to figure out what he was trying to say that it was just off-putting. They just don't get it.
Nope. Bill, we will catch up next week. Love you, brother. Thanks so much.
Yep.
He went to say, go Big Red.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with an all-century Husker Hall of Famer, 10-year NFL vet. We love him, Ralph Brown, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, how are you, man?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on again.
No, I appreciate your time. What do you make of this college football silly season? We'll get into Scott Frost, Nebraska, Central Florida in a minute, but Jimbo and Tennessee, and how much popcorn have you ate just watching this?
I've been eating tons of popcorn over the last week, you know, with the revolving door and basically the inability to sign a head coach at Tennessee, the Jim Fisher departure to A&M, and you know, this whole Scott Frost thing that's going on as well. And it's just been amazing. You know, I've been trying to pay attention to everything and the musical chairs of what's going on in the college football landscape right now. It's exciting and sad for a few people and disheartening for others.
Tennessee does what now? I know you've been pretty vocal on Twitter about T. Martin. You played against T. In the Fiesta Bowl, both Fiesta Bowl and Orange Bowl, and he's out in your neck of the woods at SC. You think T. is the next choice and maybe a yes for Tennessee? Tennessee's the guy at the bar that's been slapped and told no by everyone in the bar except the gal that's passed out down at the end of the bar.
Yeah, I think he might be the head coach by default, but it doesn't seem like they're truly interested in T. Martin. He has won a national championship with them. He was a great quarterback. He has run a great offensive system with USC, with developing, you know, Sam Darnold and these quarterbacks, Max Brown and quarterbacks before Sam Darnold with that offense and wide receivers. I think he would be a great hire in Tennessee. He's a leader. A lot of people speak highly of him down here at USC and in Southern California, and coaches respect him as well. It's just, will Tennessee pull the trigger and try to hire one of their great, somebody who's won a national championship for them as well?
Ralph, a few minutes here. Ralph Brown with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Ralph, how close were you to Scott when you guys played at Nebraska? Scott being Scott Frost.
Well, we weren't like just truly boys where we talked all the time, but we were good friends. Just like, you know, some of the guys on defense, Scott Frost was a great guy. He was a hard worker, and he's one of those guys that if you need any favor, any help, he was a true brother to all of us. And just it was exciting playing with him, and we knew the type of player he was, the type of academic person he was as well. You know, those were just exciting times. Now knowing how he's had that growth and having this opportunity to possibly take the Nebraska head coaching job is awesome.
What's his personality like? What was it? I mean, was he a guy that would give it to you a little bit verbally? You were on the defensive side of the ball. He was on the offense. He was a physical quarterback. You guys, the black shirts didn't back down from anybody. I'm talking when it was one-on-one.
Well, yeah, I mean, he kept a high standard, and that's a testament to his parents. You know, his mom and his dad on how integral they were with developing him. He was a guy that liked to joke around, but he picked his parts when it was time to joke and when it was time to be serious. The one thing that I really loved about Scott Frost was his standard of excellence that he carried, coming from his parents, and then how passionate he was about playing a game of football and how great he wanted to be on every play and in every game and be, you know, a tremendous quarterback as well. And those are the attributes that I know that he's basically developed and grown over the years.
What's been your impression of him as a coach, not only as a coordinator at Oregon with Mariota, but the success he's had at Central Florida?
I think it's a little bit similar to kind of the Tyronn Lue, you know, coaching situation, just being able to be under all of those great coaches that T. Lue had with Phil Jackson and, you know, the Boston Celtics head coach. His name is slipping me. But when you have the tutelage of those type of head coaches, like Scott Frost has had with Bill Walsh and Tom Osborne, you go to be with Bill Parcells, you get Bill Belichick, then you get somebody who basically revolutionizes offensive schemes, up-tempo offenses, and Chip Kelly. And that's basically the perfect recipe to why he's winning. He's won everywhere he's been. He's been under, you know, such a great tradition and tutelage his entire career. He knows what winning looks like. He knows what it tastes like. He knows what it smells like. And he knows how to piece it together. So if he comes to Nebraska, I don't see anything different from what he's going to do with his staff and what the fan base will get, except for winning.
Ralph, a thought here on what Scott went through his first year as quarterback. You were a freshman on that team in 96, and even in 97, the boos against Central Florida that rained down when Dante Culpepper came to town in that first half. Is he prepared for the Nebraska fan base because he played to now take over as coach? And that's different, but there's probably some parallels too, isn't there, with having to be the quarterback, the guy that followed Tommy Frazier and go win another championship, right? But now taking over the headset, I mean, can his playing career prepare him for what he needs to be able to do as a coach?
I think it absolutely prepares him. He had to be the face, basically, under Coach Osborne of the Nebraska Cornhuskers in the 90s. He did a tremendous job with that, handling the pressure. It was tough at times with him not having some of these great games. The fan base was hard on him at times, but he handled it properly. And he kept fighting. He kept his standard throughout each week. We ended up winning a national title in 97. He grew tremendously in terms of the weight room, his knowledge of the game, being a leader from 96 to 97. And you can see who he's become from basically 2008 or 10 all the way up to now in terms of his demeanor, how he talks, how he develops his players. And I think he'll be the perfect fit for Nebraska because he knows the culture, he knows the standard, he knows how to win. And I love the fact that he got a chance to spend 2 years at another university to go through a small learning curve. And now if he comes to Nebraska, he knows exactly what he will do once he gets to our program and build it up back again.
A few minutes here, Ralph Brown with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Ralph D. Brown, talking Scott Frost. Can you imagine the pressure of the coaching job in Lincoln? What's your view of it as a player and this kind of merry-go-round Nebraska's been on since Coach retired?
Well, for me, I think when you know what the job truly embodies, I think there's no pressure. I think all the coaches, except for Coach Solich, which we preemptively fired too soon, and all the fans know that we did that. I just think every coach post-Coach Solich truly didn't understand the culture, understand the standard, understand the recruitment of bringing in the walk-ons, and understanding the state of what Nebraska fans truly are and what they represent to the state of Nebraska. I feel like Scott knows that. I feel like a lot of former players know that. And I don't think there's no pressure when you truly know what that embodies. And you can see it with Bo Pelini, and you can see it with Coach Riley. Those guys truly didn't understand what the Nebraska fan base and Nebraska football is all about.
I had a chance to get caught up with Coach DiNardo yesterday, and he had some questions about the black shirts. I tried to explain it to him, and I obviously never wore one. You did for 4 years. What's that black shirt standard? What is that black shirt mindset?
Well, the standard is just having your brother's back. The standard is giving your all in practice on every play. The standard isn't it's not loafing. The standard is just playing at a high level on every play and trying to exceed and carry on what your brothers did before you, the year before, the years before, and keep handling that torch that's passed to you. That's what wearing a black shirt is all about. It's about sacrifice, and it's about a brotherhood. And sadly, you know, a few of these defensive coordinators haven't understood the true topic or what a black shirt is all about, or developing these guys to understand how to wear it, how to be prideful, and how to represent a black shirt on every play, every game throughout four quarters.
You hit on something. You mentioned development. Are you confident Scott Frost understands development in the Nebraska way when it comes to development?
I think he knows it to a T, and he knows it perfectly. You just look at what he's done with the guys at Oregon, what he's done at UCF with those guys going 6-7 in the first year and then going basically undefeated in second year, still has the game tomorrow. But, I mean, he's done a great job, and he gets it. And it's the perfect scenario for Huskers fans for what Scott Frost had to go through and learn from and experience to basically more than likely, hopefully, you know, be our head coach in the future.
Ralph, give me a crystal ball. Give me a percentage here on Frost to Lincoln.
For me, I don't think Scott Frost can let down his alma mater being at this level that it's at. It's such at a low point, and he can save his alma mater, I'm going to say 90%.
Okay.
Because he understands Tom Osborne is behind this. He won a national title. His parents are from Nebraska. He's from Nebraska, and it's just something that the stars have just aligned perfectly for Scott to come back and save and resurrect our program. So I'm going to go at 90% that Scott Frost is the head coach of the Cornhuskers here soon.
The other 10% being Florida State or Oregon poaching him?
No, I just have to leave that 10% in there. I think it's basically a done deal, but 90% sounded pretty good on the air right now.
There we go. There we go. Ralph, I got about 90 seconds here. I wanted your thoughts on Eli Manning. You're a former Giant, went to the Super Bowl with the Giants. What's your reaction to how this thing's played out this week?
Well, it's just disheartening for what Eli Manning has to go through in these last few games of the season. I looked at it more of a personal situation, and then when I kind of overlooked what they're trying to do, it's more of, hey, look, let's put in Geno Smith, because if we tank the rest of the season, we may be able to get Sam Darnold or Josh Rosen to be able to replace Eli Manning and then be the face of our organization for the next 12 to 15 years. And I think that's a business decision. A lot of people were angry and frustrated. I was, because I played for the Giants, and they're a class act. They're one of the classiest organizations, top two, top three organizations in the NFL. So now that I look at from a business standpoint, you plug in Geno Smith, they lose the rest of the games, they have an opportunity to grab Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold, and now you don't even skip a beat with your next quarterback who can be starting for the next 10 to 15 years.
Ralph, a thought here on your weekend. Are you locked in and watching Central Florida tomorrow?
Oh, definitely. Everybody's going to be watching from Huskers fans and seeing what Frost does. And the one thing I love about that is all of a sudden Huskers fans have become UCF fans, tweeting and paying attention to what Scott Frost is doing over there. And it's just awesome the support that Huskers fans give their former players, coaches that even leave when they're doing other things elsewhere. So Husker fans will be supporting him. Hopefully he gets a W, and then he'll just tie it up with a bow and become our new head coach.
Ralph Brown, Husker standout, all-century performer, Hall of Famer, 10-year NFL vet, at Ralph D. Brown on Twitter. Ralph, we'll get caught up, man. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot, brother.
There he is, Insight on Scott. His thoughts, Ralph Brown. Good to know. We'll hear from Scott Frost, his press conference today for the AAC Championship as they touch gloves tomorrow, 11 o'clock. You can hear it here in Lincoln on ESPN FM 101.5.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Great to be with you on Friday. Don't forget the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Myself, Mark Kranak. Holiday Hail Mary starts off on Monday with ESPN Lincoln. Excited for that. 11 o'clock kick. pregame 10:45 for Central Florida tomorrow. A reminder, if you're going out tonight, it's the weekend. Get that sober ride home. If you don't, if you get caught drinking and driving, you'll face a DWI that could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time and be required to install that interlock device. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Danny's been so kind to find some words from Scott Frost today as he gets ready for the Memphis Tigers. And Frost here is talking a little bit here. Danny, help me out here. How long's this clip with Frost? We got a couple of comments from Frost today. No Nebraska reference or news. I believe legs would have been broken. Jaws would need to be wired shut. Now, the first dude who asked him about Nebraska win or lose after the championship game tomorrow, we need to set an office pool on that. As to when that question is asked tomorrow, win or lose, after the Memphis Central Florida game. Is it third question in from Bonnie, circa Roy Williams? Right? Remember? See, remember that championship game where Kansas got beat and Carolina's open and Roy could have gotten CBS and FCC fine?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So I'm saying it's what do you think of your team's performance? It's going to be question one to Frost tomorrow. Two, when's a plane leave for Lincoln?
So you're thinking,
are you fair-skinned? Do you burn easily?
Over, under two questions?
Wind burn. There. Ice burn. Frostbite. Oh, boom.
There it is. You've been there searching for it all day.
Frost, what's Frosty have to say here?
I told these guys before the season that it's probably harder to go from 0-12 to, or I'm sorry, easier to go from 0-12 to 6-6 than it is to go from 6-6 to 9-3 or 10-2. That means you got to start winning some of those close games, beating some good teams. You got to keep the momentum going. I think I knew when we went up to Maryland and played like we did that we had a chance to be better than maybe any of us thought. But we've had some challenges along the way. I look back to fall camp, and we approached fall camp a little differently with the early start to fall camp, and we made sure our guys were fresh coming out of fall camp. I think because of the way the season turned out that's been really important because we have been, this I think will be our 11th week in a row playing a football game, and that can wear a team down. But I give a ton of credit to Zach Duvall, the time, our strength coach, to marry our trainer. This is one of the healthiest seasons of football that I've been a part of. And I think those two people and their staffs and probably our approach to it has helped us stay fresh and be ready to play.
Okay, there's Scott Frost on the success, on when it kind of hit him, dismantling Maryland. And Nebraska fans, I got to ask you, what would it be like to go through a season fresh and healthy? Or relatively fresh and healthy, where guys aren't injured. I mean, Riley, that poor guy had the first 2 minutes of every press conference with a litany of injuries. I mean, you had major contributors out, or guys that were making some plays out. You had 2 to 3 guys on the offensive line. You had your eye back. 4-8 was bad, but it could have been worse without your quarterback. Stanley missed a couple of games. That wasn't good. Defensively, Mick was a rock. He was there all the time. Carlos was there. Freedom was there. But Gifford had a bad hip. That wasn't cool. Your corners got beat up, got dinged up. Specifically, Lee. We'll have more from Scott Frost in the AAC title game. And he'll address something that clearly was an issue for Nebraska this season. And that's morale. I'll get to the phones here. 466-377-6800. 825-5865. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you here in a minute. And don't forget, Derek Peterson's coming up here at 5. Friday forecast is on the way. Let's go to Gary, and we'll get Gary on the horn. Gary, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Chris, you know, I was just thinking, you were just talking about, you know, the some of the issues that Mike Riley had with the injuries. You know, I'm going to kind of add to that a little bit in that, you know, we talked about players maybe quitting and not putting out the effort that you would like to see. And, I, you know, with all the negativity that kind of flew around the whole state of Nebraska, not just from the fans, from the media as well. And I'm not blaming the media for what happened, not by any length of the imagination.
No, the climate was fierce. You're right.
Yeah. And you know, that has to have an effect on those young players. I mean, they still are young players, even though the expectations are they need to perform at a high level. But they still got to be hearing all this stuff. And it's like, you know what? Nobody cares. Why should we?
I don't disagree with that at all. That's not the mindset you ever want to adopt, but we can all understand it at different points of our life where that goes through your mind.
Yep.
Now, do you latch on to it or not? And the other part of it, my friend, is buy-in. Is this guy on defense putting us in a spot to succeed? Where you're in zone defense, there's a pass rush of three, you're hung out to dry, there's no pressure.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, you know, I'm just hoping that whoever our next coach is, whether it be Scott Frost or somebody else, that there's, I think, a little more support from the beginning.
Oh, it's there will be tons of support from the beginning.
If it's Scott, yes.
Absolutely. Gary, appreciate the call, brother. Thanks for calling. Let's squeeze Ryan in. Ryan, thanks for tuning in. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Great show.
Thanks, man.
My comments were, if Scott Frost is hired, and I think most of the state, for the most part, thinks he will be, you know, I think he's going to bring a little bit of a physicality back to this team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard a lot about, you know, how Nebraska's practices were like NFL and all this like that, basically too soft. I watched Scott Frost on Wired Up. I don't know how many weeks ago that was. He's on Wired Up on College Game Day. And he was out there in a T-shirt or whatever, and he was on the practice facility, and no pads on. These kids are out practicing. And he said, "Go hit the guy. Go hit him." And he just popped this kid. I mean, no pads on or nothing. Just go went and popped him. He said, "Be physical," you know. And I like that. And I think, you know, I think he can develop players.
He'll get them tough, Ryan. And that's the thing, man. Is he'll get them tough. He'll develop them. He can relate to them. And that's going to be so big. Ryan, thanks for calling. We're up against a break. That's also something that will be sought after. Remember when Nebraska was featured on College Game Day? Remember when Game Day came to Lincoln? And Danny doesn't, because Danny was, you know, drinking chocolate milk.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Fred of Chicago, Danny Burke, Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson, 10 minutes away. Jeff is on the horn. He's a Central Florida grad, and also Jeff in Virginia. Is this fair to say?
Hey, yes.
Sir, how are you?
I was doing pretty good until the last couple of weeks, and you guys are starting to recruit my coach.
Yes, it's... Yeah, the Frost alert is on level 110 out of 100, my friend. But hey, you got to be pretty jacked about the game tomorrow, don't you?
Well, you know, I'm in Richmond, and I'm sponsoring a viewing party in Richmond tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
But here's my question about Frost.
Uh-huh.
When he goes, well, you know, it's 99%. It's a done deal going to Lincoln. What happens if Frost doesn't produce in Lincoln? Like Scarborough, he didn't really produce. He hasn't won Michigan against Ohio State. He's
Harbaugh, you mean?
Harbaugh, I'm sorry. Harbaugh,
no, you're good. Listen, here's the thing, Jeff, and thank you so much for tuning in, bud. I appreciate you. I don't think a guy like Frost has, when he considers this, when he thinks about taking this job. There's pitfalls, there's pressure, there's fishbowl. There's so many issues. And there are reasons as to why not to take it. And then there's the personality that embraces that challenge. And it's the same personality that flipped you from 0-12 to 17-7 in the last 2 years and got you bowl eligible in year one, going 6-7 from 0-12. You don't think about the negative or not getting it accomplished. That's why he's the most sought after coach, him and Chip Kelly. You don't think in terms of failure. Not that it's not possible to happen, it is. But that's just not, as a competitor, as a coach, as an athlete, you don't think about not getting the job done. That's not in the back of his mind. And if you're a Nebraska fan, you're wanting him here. You want better than 4-8, better than 9-4. And he's the guy that'll give you a chance. And a popular narrative out there is if he can't get it done, no one's going to be able to get it done anymore. I mean, this is the message to Obi-Wan Kenobi for the Nebraska football program. It's how it feels to many. Sorry to go Star Wars reference, but now we're, 14 days away from whatever the heck this new one is. Can they resurrect Han Solo? Can that happen?
I don't know. I try to keep up with all these Star Wars movies.
Don't worry about it.
It's getting out of hand for me now.
Danny's like, you should see this look Danny from Chicago is giving me. He's like, Schmidt's a dork. He's talking Star Wars. No, and Jeff, yeah, I'd poach in my coach. Nebraska fans, like, don't want to think about it not getting better. That's why you make the move and hope he can pull it off. Support him to pull it off. So hour one, you blink and it's gone. Thanks for your time. Hour two coming up, Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson will be with us. Get his thoughts on the wild week in college football and what he's interested in seeing with Frost to Nebraska. Friday forecast also next hour. Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour two, Friday post time for many of you. It's that time of day, heading somewhere with some bros, or the wife, or the girlfriend, maybe to volleyball. It's all good. Great to be with you on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. We'll have more thoughts from Scott Frost in his presser earlier today. We welcome in with HailVarsity.com and magazine, tremendous talent, awesome dude, and just fantastic with his coverage in Nebraska. Derek Peterson with us at DrPD15 on Twitter. Derek, what's up, man? A crazy week in college football. How are you?
It has been a crazy week. You are right. Nebraska played a football game like 7 days ago, and it doesn't feel like it at all.
It has been, yeah, that seven-day window. I don't know what Tennessee's like continuous fumbling feels longer than the actual time they have let go of Butch. And it seems like Tennessee has said, I see your pain, Nebraska, as far as this waiting, right, for the next name.
Yeah.
And Tennessee's like, I'm going to just take over college football for everyone who doesn't have a coach. And we'll just take all the arrows. Is that what they're doing? Is Tennessee going to get Christmas cards from everyone in the SEC and everyone else waiting on a coach to come to their program?
I tell you what, man, Tennessee is in that situation right now where if you're a head coach at a program and you're trying to get a raise, just float it out there that you're talking with Tennessee and then go back to your own school and get a raise. We saw it with Mike Gundy. We saw it with Doran at NC State. I mean, go for it. Go get a raise out of yourself. This is one of those situations where like if you scripted this and handed it in as like a TV show, like people would be like, no, it's not believable. It's too over the top. Like it's insane what has happened with Tennessee. And I mean, I feel bad for the people that are having to cover this, but it's been pretty entertaining to watch.
Well,
if
I mean,
I'm being honest.
It's twists and turns and plots, and you have Usual Suspects. You have the end of Breaking Bad. You have House of Cards. I mean, go through the list of surprises you could have, and they keep coming with Tennessee football. Uncle Phil's now the AD. After being run out by John Curry. And, man, I tell you what, Blair Kirchhoff had a great story today on just how bad, from a relationship standpoint, Curry has been with coaches at Kansas State. I mean, he hacked off Bill Snyder. He hacked off Frank Martin. And he was a development guy, which means he could fundraise. But, wow, when it comes to following through and dealing with people, it hasn't worked out. Let's talk about Nebraska and them being the anti-Tennessee when it comes to handling their business of a coaching search and execution. And you still need the payoff here on late Saturday or Sunday. But your thoughts on where Nebraska's at right now, your thoughts on Scott Frost. And being a dude that's covered a big-time football program like Oklahoma, now you're in Nebraska. What is your gauge and kind of insight here on Frost? What do you think he can do in Lincoln, assuming he's the guy?
Yeah, so, you know, if we're talking about two just polar opposites, two extremes, you've got Tennessee on one side of the country, and you've got Nebraska that is really kind of thanking their lucky stars right now for Bill Moose, that they're not having to go through everything else that seeming like every program in college football has had to go through and this offseason alone. So it's weird. Everybody's just waiting on Scott Frost at this point. And I think it's a home run. Absolutely. I've been reading a couple guys that, you know, when this gets announced, when this is finalized, as we expect it to be soon, this is one of those hires that's going to jump to the top of your kind of grade the offseason, grade the coaching carousel, grade silly season. I did a story, graded out the top four coaching hires so far earlier, and Frost, when it's all said and done, will jump to the top of that list, I think, because just the ties that he has to the program, he understands what it's going to take to win here, and I think that the offense that he's going to bring, and really more the mentality that he's going to bring to kind of rejuvenate this program is exactly what it needs. I've been talking with friends, and you know, the him being an alum, him having that emotional attachment here at Nebraska, I think it's made things a little bit easier than, let's say, if he was just another hot up and coming coach. I don't know that Nebraska has the kind of shot at him that it has had. So, you know, luck out in that regard. But I think this is really, this was a hire that needed to be a home run. It needed to be a hire for Moose that they just nailed, because it was such a crucial one for the program and where it's at right now. And I think that that's what is, when we look back on this, you know, 5, 6, 7 years from now, that's how we're going to view it, as a home run. It's going to be that one that kind of sets them back on the right track. I really think Scott is the guy that's going to be able to do that.
When this happens, if, and I got to say the if part, right? When this happens, do you immediately get your mind erased from what was 4-8? I mean, does that just seem like it never happened? Bad dream, 80s TV drama where, oh, it was all a dream, right? I mean, is that, 4-8 did happen, but man, you jump ahead to what can be in 2018.
I think a lot of people outside the program, that's going to be kind of the natural, like, let's move on. Let's not talk about this. This will be the season that nobody wants to talk about. And that's natural. I mean, it was a really, really awful season. It was hard for everybody to go through. And it's, I mean, it's natural that you're going to want to forget about it. But I think for the team, for the players on the team, for any of the coaching staff that gets retained, that's something that we need to watch moving forward too. Who sticks around from the coaching staff. But for everybody that is on the inside and inside this organization, what happened this past season you can't just forget it. You can't just say, we're just going to block that out from memory. It was a bad year. We're going to move forward. It has to be, we have to learn from this. We have to figure out how to prevent this from happening again. We have to figure out what went wrong, first of all, and then correct it. I think that's a big challenge that's going to be on the head coach's plate to try to figure out how to get these guys to fix everything that went wrong last season, because there are a lot of things that need fixing. A lot of it starts on the defense, and a lot of it starts on the offensive line up front. Luckily for Nebraska, those are two things that they probably can fix with a guy like Scott Frost. So I don't think blocking it out and saying, nope, not talking about it anymore, is the right way to go. I think it should be more motivation and kind of stuck in the back of your mind that, you know, that's not going to happen again.
Derek Peterson's with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Dr. Petey 15. So let's talk staff here and thoughts on what is possible or probable from a Central Florida move to Nebraska. Obviously, Scott Frost, but who else? And from a coordinator standpoint, I mean, Troy Walters, I'd be surprised if he didn't get a hard look as replacing Scott. They're close. They're roommates from Stanford. You had a great write-up on HaleVarsity.com, the forum, about that. But what do you feel here? And I know Scott's going to call his own plays, or does call his own plays, because I said, hey, is he kind of pulling an Osborne here where he's doing his own thing? But you'll still need passing game coordinator. You'll still need a right-hand guy to run the offense. Who are you thinking about with that?
Absolutely, and I think that's one of those things. Scott's not going to change what has worked for him once he gets here. I think they want him to do kind of what he's comfortable with, mm-hmm. and what has worked for him. When it comes to coordinators, everything that I've heard is that Scott wants to leave Central Florida. If he leaves, he wants to leave Central Florida in a good place. He doesn't want to kind of erase what they have built. He wants to kind of keep that naturally going up. He wants to keep that trending in the right direction. And so a guy like Troy Walters is going to be someone that should get a very serious look from Central Florida. And I think that Scott's the type of guy that's going to love that. He's going to love that for Troy and want Troy to kind of move into that spot. I think that Central Florida job is going to be insanely appealing to a lot of people around the country. I mean, yeah. We've seen a couple dominoes start falling now with Jimbo moving and people talking about Willie Taggart and whether he goes to Florida State. But I think if and when that job opens up, that one is going to be immediately appealing to everybody. I think when you're talking about filling out the staff and coordinators and things like that, I think it's going to be really important to look at guys that Scott has relationships with already, that Scott has kind of built trust with throughout his coaching career. Look at guys that were maybe with him at Oregon. You know, a guy up in Washington who's the co-OC right now, Matt Lubbock, is a good name to kind of keep an eye on. And also Bill Moose would have that relationship with him as well. We know Bill's not going to be too involved in the coordinator hiring process. He said that at the press conference last Saturday. He said, you know, Scott's going to, he hires the coach, the coach hires the coordinators. And so, but I think this will be one of those situations where Scott will bring in guys that he knows and that he trusts and that he has a relationship with already, not necessarily like a big name guy that he wants to bring in just to bring them in.
With Lubick and Matt, and that's a name that I remember Sonny Lubick for all his. He had really good Colorado State teams. This is like, or, you know, mid '90s, because they Colorado State would play at Nebraska a lot, like from '90 through '92 or '94, and his, you know, Papa Bear was Sonny Lubick, and he was the Miami defensive coordinator for 100 years when they were mauling people. Him and Wonstadt, and then Sonny ends up in Fort Collins, and here's his son. And so you have Washington's OC that just got the Oregon State job. Does Lubick stay and go from co-OC to OC at Washington, or does he jump and get a clean break with Scott here in Lincoln?
very realistic possibility that he's done a good job with them, and you know, that's one of those decisions that they can say, we're just going to keep it in-house and just promote the guy that's been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he was, I mean, he's been a wide receiver coach, he's been a DB coach throughout his career, and but he was Oregon's offensive coordinator, excuse me, when Frost left Oregon, and he was the co with Jonathan Smith last year, so that would be a very natural move for them to just kind of move him up. It's one of those things where Scott's probably got a list already, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he probably already knows who he wants, who he's going to talk to, and who he kind of has an idea of bringing in. I think that those are conversations or decisions or at least thought processes that he's already had as they're getting ready for this.
Derek, do you have a thought on contract terms for assistants? Contract term for Scott, contract, and then like an assistance pool. We don't have official numbers, so we can just all throw things at the wall here with all due respect. But I mean, do you think Nebraska is going to get in the big boy pool? Yes, when it comes to what they're probably going to pay the head coach. But how about yes when it comes to what they'll pay the assistant pool?
I think Scott would like them to. Yes, we heard from Moose that. Yes, that they're getting that big payout from the Big Ten this year for the first time, but that doesn't mean that money is necessarily just not an option.
It ain't spring break.
Spend willy-nilly. Right, exactly. He wants to be financially responsible, and that makes sense. But I also think Nebraska is going to pay what they need to get this thing back. And Scott at Central Florida has been so vocal and so outspoken about making sure that his coordinators and his staff is taken well care of. I wouldn't be surprised if coordinators get paid well here and the staff that he brings in. I think Nebraska's in a situation where just pay them. Like, pay what you need to. Do what you need to get this thing back on the right track, to get this thing rolling. Maybe don't give $850,000 or something like that to a guy like Bob Diaco.
pay what you need to pay to get the right people here. Derek Peterson, the right person to follow at Dr. Petey 15 on Twitter with coverage and all the news this weekend with Nebraska. Again, assuming there's an announcement, planning on an announcement, and HailVarsity.com all over the coverage, and Derek Peterson crushing it this week. Derek, have an awesome weekend, bro. I'll probably see you Sunday.
Yeah, sounds good, man. It'll be an interesting weekend.
That sounds
good.
Appreciate
you.
Take care, brother. You too. Awesome stuff. Great work. Derek Peterson, awesome coverage with Nebraska football. Awesome coverage for your holiday needs. Sauter Heyman, Rick in the gang, and 0% interest financing with Sauter Heyman through 2020. And Earth Mind and Pure Grown Diamonds available for her. Or if you want to just bling out, you want to get a little frosty with all the ice, do it. And they have $99 down, $99 a month for 1 carat diamonds. Rick just needs to show up in a Santa hat and just a T-shirt that says, get frosty. With some of his pure grown diamonds on the front. 12th and O downtown Lincoln's where you can find Rick. South Point Pavilion is where you can find Rick and Sauter Heyman. Out west in Grand Island is where you can find Sauter Heyman. 0% interest financing through 2020. And pure grown and earth mine diamonds. Great selection. And maybe it's set time right now to get her the hookup for this holiday season. $99 down, $99 a month for 1 carat diamonds. Friday forecast is coming up. Klausburn. Oh, yeah. Klausburn in the house in a moment. His picks this weekend for Championship Saturday with Hail Varsity Radio.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for the Friday forecast, presented by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline at 1-800-522-4700. We bring in Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, how are you?
I'm doing well. I didn't think that this is the last real weekend of football, but I'll get through it.
Well, it is championship Saturday this weekend. So many games to get through. Tennessee is, well, not on championship Saturday, but they still be making news on championship Saturday. Clausburn, how are you? Do you feel bad for the Vols?
Oh, not at all. But I do feel bad for Brandon. I understand the sense of loss when football season is over. But Brandon, don't be sad that it's ending. Be happy that this Tennessee thing is just getting started.
Yeah, something like that. Guys, let's get into the forecast picks. We'll start off with the Pac-12 championship. Stanford, USC, the Trojans -3.5. And Stanford got just smoked by SC the first time around. I'm going to go first. I think this one will be a lot closer. I like SC just because of Darnold, big stage for him. I think he steps up to it. And give me the Trojans to win this thing 28-24. A win for SC and barely the cover for SC. Maybe I'm too low on the point total here. Vogues, what do you think?
No, I like your point total a lot. I just think it's going to be reversed. Stanford's playing a lot better since then. Obviously, had a sort of rough start to the season where they didn't win a game in the Northern Hemisphere for a while. Seemed to have remedied that. Also, the Pac-12 South just doesn't win this game. So give me Stanford 28-24.
All right. Okay. So Vogues is going with the Cardinal. Claus, a former quarterback, played safety at Stanford at one point in time. What do you see with this one?
Well, honestly enough, I also picked the exact same point total. But it's for no reason, really. I don't know a whole lot about Pac-12 teams because, as an octogenarian, their games all come on roughly 6 hours after I go to bed and wrap up about 15 minutes before I wake up. So I don't know a whole lot about it, but I will take Stanford due to being in that Scott Frost afterglow for 23 years. Stanford 28 and USC 24.
Well, I'm outvoted here. Let's move on. Speaking of Scott Frost, Central Florida -3 against Memphis. The Knights just pounded the Tigers in the earlier meeting. Vegas says the over's on this thing about 85, so expect a 45-40 type ball game. I'm going to pick the upset here. I'm going to go with Memphis. I think the distraction, the reality, and the finality of Frost coaching his last game at Central Florida affects this team. Memphis is a good squad, and it's really hard to beat a team of that caliber twice in the same year. A lot at stake here, and too much peripheral stuff going on with Central Florida. Give me the Tigers 48-45, the win, the cover for Memphis. Vogues?
It is tough to beat a team like that twice, and UCF was a little bit fortunate to do it. I mean, the point spread there was pretty large in that first meeting, but the Knights had some turnovers and luck a little bit. But I think they'll rally around the fact that this very much looks like Frost's last game in Orlando. Give me the Knights, 45-31.
Wow, big win for Central Florida, says Vogues, to stay undefeated. Clausburn, what happens here, Memphis or Central Florida?
Well, I know historical performance doesn't necessarily translate to future success or lack thereof, but that's all I have to go on. And historically, Scott has not performed his best the first time he leads a team to a championship game. I think we all remembered James Brown in 4th-and-1. But then, he dominates the second time he goes to a championship game. In other words, the 2018 Big Ten champion is probably Ohio State, let's be realistic, guys. But in this one, I think Memphis does win. It's tough to beat a team twice, especially one that good. Now I'm going to take Memphis 38 and Central Florida 31.
All right, and historical perspective is always from Clausburn. I think the defense had a rough day against James Brown, more so than the offense. TCU, Oklahoma, Sooners -7. Look, man, I think OU's playing really solid. I think they're good on offense. I think Baker's the difference, and I'm going to go with Oklahoma 42-31 over TCU. Again, a rematch. I like Oklahoma. I like their difference at quarterback. Baker will be behaved pregame for this one. And I like the Sooners. What do you think, Vogues?
Yeah, I think I picked TCU in this one the first time around and obviously was wrong. So I'll make the, if I could just get that money back, Clark, bet again here on the Frogs. Like the defense a little bit. I think they can slow them down just enough to get the outright win here. So give me TCU 35-31.
You're a chaos guy, huh, Vogues?
I am. Let's roll the dice and see what happens here.
Klausburn, what do you think here? The Horned Frogs or Boomer Sooner?
Well, it's really a home game for TCU. It's a very short drive between Fort Worth and Arlington. So they'll be out in full force. You know, Oklahoma, meanwhile, it'll be a longer drive. They might get distracted by the fancy Walmart across the street from Jerry's World there. But they got plenty of duct tape for sale to make sure the 89 Ford Bronco gets back across the Red River. And unfortunately, though, for Baker Mayfield, I don't think he can go to that Walmart and buy any class or dignity. But they may have something to cure that jockey if he apparently had to Kansas game. So with that in mind, I think Baker probably plays a little bit better. And Oklahoma wins this one 28-21.
Klausburn says the Sooners. Let's go to Auburn. Let's go to Georgia as War Eagle minus 2.5 over them Dogs. The question here with this one is just how good can Georgia's one-dimensional offense be? The answer, the last time they met, not good at all. Kevin Steele's defense, another Nebraska shout-out, was just flat-out incredible. Auburn did the job and then some against Bama. I was surprised by that. Auburn looked like Bama on defense and running the football. I think Auburn's going to win this. I think they sweep Georgia for 2017. And Stidham really has been playing well. I like that they've let him scramble around a little bit. Kerryon is kind of going to give it a go. But, man, that shoulder's very tender. That'll be something to watch. But give me Auburn. And give me War Eagle 27-24, the win, the cover over Georgia. Vogues?
This is really the ideal SEC championship game when you look at how close both Georgia and Auburn are to Atlanta. I'm sure it's a ton of fun there. I'm sad that I'm not there. I think Georgia's defense is going to show up a little bit more in this one. I'm going to take Bulldogs to get the revenge game 21-20.
Wow, 21-20, says Vogues with them Dogs of Georgia. Klausburn, what do you like here, Georgia or Auburn?
Well, I'm sure the staff at College Game Day and the playoff committee will be watching intently, probably with some moisturizer nearby. But I don't want to participate in the farce of giving the FCC ratings and excuses to give two lost teams and number two rankings. I won't watch, but I'll take Georgia to win because why not? 31-28.
31-28, Klausburn says Georgia in the upset. Let's talk ACC championship, the U against Clemson. The U came back to earth. No more undefeated for Miami. They lost to Pitt. They lost to a Sean Watson offense. Clemson, a little bit better than a Sean Watson offense or a Narduzzi defense. It's going to be a road game for the U as this thing is in Charlotte. Give me Clemson big, 31-10. That's right, 31-10. Clemson the win and the cover over Miami. Really good season for the U. They end up 10-2 and just not quite there. They survived a lot of close games this year, lost to a team that's not great in Pitt, and they'll come to reckoning against Clemson as Clemson gets back in to the playoff with Dabo. Vogues?
Yeah, I don't have it quite that big, but I also like Clemson. I think we're seeing the, not that what Dabo has done to this point has been unimpressive, but getting there, getting to the playoff again with this team, probably the most impressive work he's done so far. I think the Tigers will do that. I'll take them beat Miami 27-17 and just cover.
Okay, yeah, they do just get in there, the 10 over the 9.5. Klausburn, what do you think here? Clemson and the U both have been Nebraska opponents in the Orange Bowl. Clemson once, the U several times.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, Christopher, because I tried to watch the Miami game last week to really kind of get a sense of how good they actually were. But then in the fourth quarter, I heard the words Miami replaced and Rozier. and broke into a cold sweat, had visions of a football bouncing off Jeff Smith's face, and had to take a lap around the block to regain my composure. So I'm really not too tuned into how well Miami's actually played, but I think Clemson's a lot better. I think they win this one going away, 35-17.
All right, we're on the same page there. Let's head to Indy, Wisconsin, Ohio State. The Buckeyes minus 5.5. The world, I think, appreciates Wisconsin and how they just reload. But the respect level, they're underdogged against Ohio State. Ohio State's looked very mortal this year in big games. Give me Wisconsin. Give me that defense. Give me that run game and O-line. And Hornibrook stays out of trouble. That's the difference. I think Wisconsin stays unbeaten, gets a shot at a championship, and wins a championship for the West. I like Wisconsin in this one, 28-21 over Ohio State. That's a lot of points for Wisconsin against this defense, but I think they'll find a way. Vogues?
Well, I would like to call for a win for pure and plain farm-raised football. I just can't quite get there. Ohio State's too dynamic. They know that they need to come out and then win to even have a chance and be in the discussion. I think they will. I'll give the Badgers a cover, but Ohio State wins 27-24.
Klaus, what do you say?
Well, I'm certainly rooting for Wisconsin in this one because obviously they look similar to us in uniform, and of course the people, a little huskier, more facial hair, a few more brat stains on their decades-old sweaters up in Wisconsin, but pretty similar. And the men look similar too. I'll take Wisconsin in this one just because I want to see the Simone Biles level gymnastics that Kirk Herbstreit's going to have to do to justify keeping an undefeated Big Ten champion out of the playoff. I'll take Wisconsin 35 and Ohio State 28.
That's the Friday forecast. Claus, be good.
Okay.
Vogues, thanks again.
Thank you.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to be with you on Friday. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago. Danny Burke, Friday forecast there. Big thanks to Klausburn for joining in. Don't forget weekend edition of Hail Varsity coming up tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. More from Scott Frost here on his team as he spoke with the media again, kind of the last hurrah here pre-championship Saturday. That's how it's gone. I mean, you had Wisconsin's press conference, you had Ohio State's press conference. Tennessee had their own press conference, but not in a championship weekend sort of sense. Gus Malzahn reminded you that he's the head coach at Auburn playing in the SEC championship. When asked about Arkansas, that job's still open. But here is Coach Frost about morale. And that's one of the biggest strengths with flipping culture of an 0-for team, getting him to buy in and believe. 0-12, much worse than 4-8, but you're in a similar, you're on your way up from the basement at 4-8 versus laying down in the basement 0-12, but you're below ground.
I don't know if morale was low. There was a lot of spirit on this team. There's a lot of guys that, even with a bad record, believe they could accomplish a lot more. And I think that spirit had a lot to do with getting us where we are. I remember talking to Shaquem and Pittman and Tony Garrod and Shaquan Burkett and countless other guys. And they all believe they should have been a better team than they were the year before. And that belief, I think, helped catapult us forward a little faster.
That'll be key. When and in parentheses, if Scott Frost is your coach. That's underrated about his experience right now. 2 years as a head coach, coming from Oregon, playing for a national championship, mentoring Mariota. How are you able to connect and get buy-in from an 0-12 locker room. Well, it should be easy, right? They're 0-12. The only place you can go is up. Well, easier said than done to jump to a bowl game, and now look where they're at. One thing that I think Coach Frost is similar with Coach Osborne in this instance is being able to really look at personalities and stress and emphasize chemistry. And I'll be interested to find out more about kind of personality traits and the educational psychology side of things with Osborne. He's got his PhD in it. I took one course of that in master's level class. I don't know how I passed. And I'm not like a rocket scientist, which is not shocking to anybody. But it's a very complex and difficult subject. And he's a doctor in that. And that's what was so great. His personality expertise helped him develop, button push that chemistry train. You can have fast dudes, you can have big guys, you can have a culture, you can have a weight room, but that cornerstone on the culture is the chemistry. I think that's something that's super important to Frost, and I think he's had a lot of life experiences when chemistry's been great and when chemistry's been not so great. And I'm talking just like teammate to teammate versus the wins and losses. I'm just talking about working and playing and working together on a team. He's taken those good and bad lessons of that, and he's been brilliant with it at Central Florida. So the chemistry angle and side of things is going to be like a bullet point here to this Nebraska job. Is the buy-in is going to be better, I think, because 4-8's awful. Unacceptable. You're better than that. You should be prideful. This is Nebraska. Easy message, but get it out of the guys to put the work in to make 4-8 never again doable. Two is the chemistry. And if you're gonna play for the guy next to you, or you want to play for the position coach above you, or the coordinator, I mean, it's got to be a two-way street. It can't just be one way. This is my system. This is what I want. This is a dictatorship. There you go. Can't do it. Can't have it. Can't happen. And with Frost, I think he is going to be good about knowing how to deal with teams that either underachieved or, in his short time at Central Florida, when I say underachieved, the team he inherited. I mean, they went 0-12 after coming off a couple years prior to that with Bowles and company, Bortles, a situation that was, it wasn't 0-12 bad, okay? It was tanked. Said, screw it. George, quit talking. We're not listening to you. Go apply for the Notre Dame gig again. All right? So his ability to develop chemistry will be the reason for success. Above scheme, above depth, above recruiting. He builds that chemistry on top of developing guys. Man, it could be nice. And I know we're all talking sunshine and happiness and win. This thing gets announced, best case scenario. And that's kind of been the same story. You were jacked and happy, many of you, for Mike Riley. You were jacked and happy for Bo Pelini. As far as Bill Callahan, I don't know. Some of you were just glad that Frank, you didn't think Frank was ever going to get it done. So you've had this schism for working on 20 years, but I think you're all on board now. It just needs to be announced. And you heard from Scott Frost right there as to what's up with his team and the morale. And he kind of gave you a glimpse into what he walked into. There were some dudes on the team that he walked into that weren't down with it, weren't happy with Ofer. There's more pride in that. Wilderness Ridge Golf, we talked with Shuey on Wednesday Love doing the Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Many of you are catching up on how Tiger's doing, following him. He's performing well. And telling you to check out Wilderness Ridge. Membership benefits, membership pricing. You can investigate. You might sneak in some nice weather, continually have nice weather. Wilderness Ridge Golf can log on and get a tee time there. You can go see Chris Thompson or Mike Shewhart today and get those kinks in your swing worked out. So they're not kinks anymore. They're strengths. So I like that. Danny, are you a golfer? You golf?
Yeah, I go out when I can and when I can afford it, especially.
I hear you.
Yeah. I was hitting the range this summer while I was staying over here, so.
All right.
Getting back into the rhythm of things.
You're one of those quiet, confident guys that you end up with probably a 50 spot, don't you? Yeah, after 9. Not for a while, but.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah, there we go. We'll wind down to Friday next on Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Well, winding down the week that's been, the week of frost, the weekend of frost tomorrow. AAC Championship kickoff at 11, pregame 10:45 here in Lincoln on the ESPN affiliate. You love it. ESPN FM 101.5, 1480 AM. I'm not sure how many of our affiliates on Hail Varsity Radio are carrying it, but point is you'll be able to hear Frost in Lincoln at 11. That's good stuff. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity tomorrow. Myself, Mark Kranak, Colton Stone. We get rolling at 7 a.m. Plenty of thoughts. And it's been one of those just insane weeks. We didn't spend hardly any time. I mean, Bill Dolman touched on it a bit. But Jimbo Fisher, $7.5 million, 10 years, $75 million. And a guy that he didn't even text his players. Francois on Twitter put his coach on blast. But you got the War Chant Illustrated, or, yeah, Tomahawk Chops dot something, I don't know, but it's on Twitter. But they were anonymous players wanting Fisher out. Man. And you talk to some coaches, and they're like, yeah, Jimbo's probably looking to go find a place with some talent. A&M's, he wanted Florida State, and he won with Jameis Winston. He's had great recruiting classes. I will give Jimbo the benefit of the doubt when it comes to how much talent they've lost. They've lost a lot of talent, either due to injury, and everyone does. But, I mean, he has, like, super elite. Like, Dalvin Cook, right, was never 1,000% healthy at Florida State. Jameis made some jackass decisions, to put it mildly, at Florida State. But, man, they were good, and they had an offensive line, and they ran a pro style. I mean, they're all right, but he's fleeing for A&M. What's your take here, Danny, on A&M? Is this going to be the move that puts him over the top so they're great? I mean, they've never been better than 8-4. I mean, they had the monster year with Johnny Football. That was right. 1 year. Right? 1 year. They're always one of those 8-5 squads. It's just what they are. They send guys to the NFL. I mean, Sherman was a 500 coach. Love him, but he's a 500 coach with Von Miller and Yokel and Tannehill, and he recruited Johnny Football, and you had Mike Evans. I mean, just go down the list of studs. And the best they could do is probably 7-5 some of those years.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think bringing in Jimbo's got to change the culture in somehow. I mean, they got to do something. I mean, we're hoping for the same thing here at Nebraska. So I think that's definitely the right move, bringing in Jimbo. And like you said, he's a great recruiter. Granted, he was in Florida, bigger base for recruiting, but Texas ain't half bad either.
Frost announcement comes when?
I'm thinking, like everyone's saying, after the game on Saturday.
Like Saturday night, 6 p.m.?
Like, yeah, I'm going around there, and I'm saying probably three questions in, like you said, right around there.
Okay, three questions in. I think the announcement via email press release tomorrow night after the Central Florida game, as in a couple, 3 hours after the Central Florida game. And then you'll have a presser. We'll have all the coverage for you, too. Reaction, coverage, as Scott Frost, likely Sunday, comes back home. Thanks to Danny. I'm Schmitty. Talk to you tomorrow. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity at 7 a.m. presented by the Nebraska Lottery.